All right. Hey, everyone. Welcome to the Gundam Explained Show Live. I'm your host, Adam Blue. Joining me, as always, Steven of Midnight Hatter. What's up, Steven?
Not a whole lot, you know. Just hanging out, excited that it's almost the weekend, so we get to talk about Gundam.
Exactly. You know, and especially for today's episode, because as I was telling you before we started, like, there's a lot of cool Gundam-related stuff I got into this week. You know how I have that segment at the beginning? And, like, I feel like that might take up the most of this. And I haven't even talked to you about it. So it's really just going to be, like, me and you chatting like normal.
That's so funny because, like I say, people think that you and I are, like, constantly talking throughout the week. And the funny part is, it's, like, these shows, you know, yesterday's live stream and today, it's, like, really the most that you and I actually get to talk to one another. So it's, like, it's like you're being in the room with Adam and I as we catch up.
Yeah, that's true. Because every once in a while, we do try to meet up and come up with something or talk through. But a lot of times it's, you know, work. Because we, you know, how we plan this around. But I like that we get to do this. You know, this is totally awesome. So not only am I going to talk about a lot of what I've been doing Gundam-wise this week, but there's a bunch of cool video game news I want to talk about.
There is. And it's been a huge announcement week.
Yeah, and yeah, it is pretty big. That's a good way to put it. I didn't really realize it, but the context of what it is, it's actually pretty big for the Gundam community. But part of it, though, I am going to take out of your book. So you have a cool segment on your show now, Trash Amar. Yesterday's was fun. And when you got to me yesterday, I thought my answer was boring. I didn't really have a good one. But I have a good one for today, and it's going to be related to the video game news. Okay.
Excellent.
I know. So I'm gonna vent a little bit. So
I love it.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. I guess maybe we'll start with that. Yeah. What I got into this week, and it's been pretty crazy. I think it was like last week when we were talking. Remember we were talking about like the building. Like I don't know what to build next. I have my Mecha Godzilla, but I want to build the Master Grade EX. Well, the weekend went by and I built the Master Grade EX and this thing awesome. Is sick. I also built the third party Proud Defender for this. And yes. I like the Proud Defender more, but on this specifically, I really like this a whole lot. This thing is way cooler than I thought it would be.
I don't know who I'm talking to anymore that you're building all these seed kits.
Yeah, see, that's the one thing I forgot to start with is I am a little embarrassed. It's like, you know, hanging out with the cool people. I want you to know that, like, really, I'm like all in the seed right now. And it's going to get worse. I'm glad you brought this up. It is going to get worse. So not only that, but I also built the Mobile Suit Ensemble Rising. Yeah.
Baby seed. But before you move on, I do want to go back to that MGEX because on the subject of EX things, you should pick up some of those Gundam Marker EXs, the ones that like they have a mirror chrome finish. Have you seen these?
Yes, I might have those.
Oh, do you? Because I was going to say that's what you should do with the Mecha Godzilla is do some mirror plating.
So that's what's funny about the Mecha Godzilla. I painted it already. I just haven't built it because I was looking online of the best ways to go about it and people are like pre-painting it. And then I bought the touch-up markers from Ray Studios with the chrome so that I, from where I snip it on the runner, I can fix it up.
Yeah. Okay. So I thought that the Ray Studios ones were just metallic, like the Gundam Marker EX, those ones are like a mirror finish.
I know what you mean. So I guess it's not completely.
Maybe that's not what you're going for because honestly.
Yeah, but I know what you mean.
It's not what I would do.
And so that's why when I was talking about it last week, it's like I have this Mechagodzilla. It's almost completed. I got the main part done. But I went with this. So yeah, seed thing number one, that Rising Freedom. Seed thing number two. This one right here, Lunamaria.
That one gets a pass.
Okay, great. and now it's going to get a little crazy, but I came across a good deal, couldn't pass it up. Here's a Mighty Strike Freedom Special Edition, limited clear. It's a clear sparkle. I already started building it. It doesn't stop there. So And I don't know why I did this, but I got the SD Mighty Strike Freedom as well. And I don't like SD. I don't like Seed. Okay.
You are, and then I got freedomed out. Like, you are so pro America right now with all this freedom going on.
There's something about when I built the Mobile Suit Ensemble and I was looking at all the details of everything to upgrade on it. I had so much fun doing that, that when I got, you know, like the master grade SD, unfortunately, that one, it isn't really made to really customize, especially because it's clear. What was the other one I got? And then I got the Chogokin. And it's just the form, understanding where the lines are, understanding where details can be. I feel like with each iteration, I am kind of completing it, you know. And it's weird. And I was talking to my brother about this today, because it's almost like we're AI, the way we see these generators right now, because we're kind of just generating things.
Kind of.
And I'm kind of in my like Mighty Strike Freedom generator phase.
Somebody's just loading up the Atom prompt with freedom, 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 freedom.
Yeah, I know, which is crazy. It's crazy. But I think what's cool about that is it just almost reaffirms that enjoyment I have for Gundam. Yeah. Because for something like Seed, that like at first I was like, I don't really care. Like over time, I'm able to really get out of it what I like about Gundam. And then I can just like it and then enjoy it. And then that's when we get all the choices. Someone in the comments the other day on a video was like, hey, what do another AU? Which one will you do next? Or someone's like, hey, you should do IBO next. And it's like, yeah, I have more to look forward to, you know, with all these other shows. And that's why, like, Tubi, you know, with After War and then Age is on it.
So it's like the two most inoffensive like AUs that are almost like zero controversy around X and Age.
That's funny because that's really what it seems like. The ones that people don't talk about too much, but it's interesting how that works a lot of times. In there's franchises where maybe a lot of people don't talk about it, but no one talked bad about it. Like Exo Squad, I think, is an example where it wasn't really talked about by a lot of people. But those that liked it. And I think there's a lot of that happens with those for sure.
Yeah,
for sure. Okay. And then, you know, something else I wanted to show off. So, I got most of the stuff I got from, I got from AmiAmi. So it's like it's used, combined shipping. And they got a HCM Pro. Is it HCM Pro?
Yeah, the 1200.
Yeah. And here's what's amazing. This is the EVA Unit 1. I forgot I should say that just in case people aren't watching. So I was disappointed in the arm because there's no elbow articulation until I found out it's actually an outer skin.
Wow.
Like that's how detailed this thing is. And it comes with that thing that you heard fall. It's the thing. It has like all of its weapons inside, and I have a few of these in Gundam, you know, from Gundam, after getting into Evangelion and really appreciating, you know, the design.
And I'm a huge fan of those HCM Pros, and so like again, for those of you who've never heard of that line, they're complete models. Like you don't have to build them. Almost.
There's certain aspects like the base, the weapons you build, but like the hands are, there's like the separate hands that you would get from, you know, a Gunpla or something to the weapon. That is just so much fun. So, and then, along with what I was showing, you know, the stuff I got, the thing keeps falling. These little pieces, I got to glue them on, but the Mobile Suit Ensemble, the Rising Freedom. I it's one of those things where I bought the whole set, you know, of the Gashapon.
Yeah.
And it's interesting because it was $23. Like, that's such a good price. I'm telling you.
That's not bad.
I know. I'm telling you. So buying these things on AmiAmi, the combined shipping guys look to do that. But anyway, what was interesting was over the weekend, my wife and I went to Grapevine Mills and we went to the Gashapon shop. I didn't know what to get. And I almost got there was no Mobile Suit Ensemble that I didn't have, so I didn't get any of those.
What a terrible problem to have.
I know. Isn't that funny? No, you know, the problem is they don't have enough.
No. Right. But yeah.
What I ended up doing was getting a bust, and it was Seed. So it was pretty cool, and it's all gold. But what's cool is you have to like buy, you have to get the other parts, because then you like you build a thing that has a light contraption, an LED thing, and it lights up. So it's like outer frame with the gold inner frame. It lights up. And but I was just thinking again, and I brought this up before. I got the Gashapon. It's like you spend $10, you get 5 tokens. It costs 4 tokens for a Gashapon. You know, for the Mobile Suit Ensemble. Yeah, I know. There's math involved, and I don't know it. But all I know is $23 plus shipping for the not just the entire set, but it's multiples. Completely worth it. I love that option's there for people that are into that. And it's just funny because I don't think people are really into this that much. And I don't know if it's because they are kind of pricey for what they are.
You know, I just don't think because it's the same as like the Gundam Artifact line, which the Gundam Artifact kits are just so awesome. And sort of like the G frames, like those ones are really cool. I don't know if it's the scale, like if people in the United States don't like that smaller scale, like anything smaller than 1 to 1/44 scale is blasphemy or something like that. Or is it that they're defined as like candy toys, like the Gashapon, like because that kind of thing has such a cult appeal in Japan, whereas you know Americans never really got into that. I
think you're onto something with the size, because I even feel like the action figure community or market, which I think is very generational. Like I think it's just following a generation. There's like a gradient, you know, of older and younger. I think as age, the tastes have changed. Hot Toys, for instance, and then Marvel Legends, the new G.I. Joes are now 6-inch.
Right.
And the Star Wars Vintage Collection that I prefer, that's the 3/4, they don't get as much attention as the Black Series. No.
It's the older folks like the Kenner style, you know, 3-inch figures. Everybody else prefers. Which is kind of interesting, because then if you go back further than that, it's like the 1/12 scale people, like the G.I. Joe, like before there was small G.I. Joes, there was the
that was like dolls scale, and like everything. Dolls. Yeah, it came from the doll. Yeah, that is interesting. It's generations. I think what is part of the zeitgeist of that generation, and then you know, it's like fashion, you know, how that changes and all that. But I think that stuff, that idea of things changing based on generations, changes now because of the internet, because someone at a young age can find an aesthetic through the internet that you might not be able to find. You know, in fact, I feel like that occurred when I was younger and the internet was becoming a thing. You know, there was like this way where you can then use the internet based around who you are.
I mean, the internet even informed the size shift in cell phones, because like through the 90s and early 2000s, cell phones got smaller and smaller and smaller. And then all of a sudden the iPhone comes out. And since then, you know, once we've connected our phones to the internet, phones are getting bigger and bigger. And now you've got the phablets, you know, everyone.
Yeah, that's these, right.
Which you might as well be walking around with a Steam Deck to your ear. Like,
I know, you know, that's a good one too. And I wonder what the psychology about that, if something like that is generational. I mean, just to think how interesting it is, you know, in some products that force users into habits, like iPhone with the touchscreen. I remember thinking, no way, iPhone touchscreen, it's so much faster because with one hand I can, and it might still be. Although there's swipe, which, you know, and all that stuff.
Yeah, do the whole drag thing. I don't know.
But what's
interesting, there's a movie that just came out about that, like about the BlackBerry.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I think it might be on Netflix now, but there was like it's one of those like historical like dramatizations of
I think you know,
when the BlackBerry first came out, and it's like, whoa, a full keyboard on a phone. It's like,
yeah, it's so amazing how that stuff, and it's interesting because I wonder what is forcing habits, but then what is a real cultural change? Like, I think touch screens, for instance, pressing on actual buttons versus touch screens isn't as big of a change as maybe touch to voice, where now everything's voice. And you could just, because even in the early days of text to speech, it wasn't like accurate. And so I think there's some people that grew up thinking, oh, that's not accurate. But if you really do utilize, you know, the speech to text or whatever, the voice to text, like it works really good, you know, and a lot of it now is using these AI algorithms anyway. So,
yeah, I'm actually surprised sometimes that, you know, when I'm using kind of like auto captioning, even just like not AI powered, but like Premiere Pro auto captioning my videos.
Oh, yeah.
It knows words like Gundam.
Yeah, like, I know it. You know, it's funny that you brought that up because I remember I recorded a video and then usually I'm at the point now where I will and I think this is a big deal. Well, I'll only make like a couple mistakes, like in terms of when I'm speaking. And what I'll do is I'll remember, okay, I said this word weird. I said this word weird. And what I could do is I can go and search for the word because that's when I did it correctly. And then I can look and see the previous line of when it's like gibberish or made up words. you know, it's funny. I will say just as an aside real quick for content creators out there, like one of the other things since I've been doing this for a few years now is like when I'm reading stuff, my notes on screen, it is so much quicker and faster. And I sometimes I'll be done and be like, wow, I didn't mess up that much. When before I felt like every few sentences, I was like, oh, I said that word weird, you know, and it's kind of the confidence thing, you know?
Yeah. There's definitely like, sometimes I go back and forth with it because, you know, if I write out a script, typically my writing style isn't super accurate to how I speak. And so what happens is I'll write, you know, a super long run-on sentence. And so if I'm trying to read it, then I'm like, I run out of breath because I'm like going.
How you would be speaking.
So what I end up doing is like, and this is probably why I make so few videos compared to you, is that, you know, I'll write a script and then as I'm reading it, I'm like, oh, I got to cut this sentence down. Like, this isn't.
Oh, yeah.
But that's one of those things where I think, and, you know, not to belabor the point of AI, but AI could really help that is if I were to take a script that has run-on sentences and say, hey, break down this script and make it so that no line exceeds, you know, 15 words.
Yeah, no, I've done that. I've done it where I will like make it where have a section titled weapons. And then I'll be like, you know, the list, you know, the weapons, et cetera. And then in bullets and I can just go through that or like make this take 4 minutes to read, you know, something like that, which is it's fun. But I got to tell you, these videos lately I've been doing where I've been doing the research, the AI has been helping me do the research. And I feel like maybe I've been teaching myself how to learn about Gundam because now I feel like I'm absorbing the information a lot better. It's just so much information though. And then you lose it because then there's new gun. Like what your brain, what does it decide to keep in and out related to Gundam? You know,
it's unfortunate because it's like, I remember every embarrassing thing that I did in high school, but I can't remember the Gundam factoids that I need to keep.
Yeah, I know. Right.
It's like, if I could just pick some of those memories out.
And it's funny because technically speaking, you would feel like the Gundam memory is more evolutionary advantageous for you because it gives you joy and it's freedom, you know? So yeah, there's that, but, no, good talk. Let me see what is next. Yeah, I think that's all in terms of the Gundam stuff. The other things I wanted to talk about too is going back and touching up older stuff. So yesterday, we had
Goku guy, yeah,
which was a lot of fun to talk. You know, at first it's just, you know, him talking, you know, about his experience. I love the way he does his builds, and that's what's interesting. Now that like we do these interviews on your show of all these people, and that one-on-one kind of allows me to absorb the style, kind of like when I build a kit, and now I'm more so with him. I said on the show, I loved how it looked. It looked like a high-end action figure that I would buy. Robot Spirits, Robot Spirits, just because the paint application, and it's like really spot on and clean, but accurate. Like,
and we've talked to a variety of builders, and I think if I'm not mistaken, he's one of the first that we've talked to where he does almost like straight anime accurate color.
Yeah.
Like typically people like to get customized with it and they do their own color palettes or, you know, they'll do some weathering and stuff. Like you said, that Zaku 2 is just clean and it's so.
Yeah.
Cool. No, I appreciate it.
Yeah, no. Yeah. That was great. And it was cool because then it got into near the end. It was funny because then like Star Wars seeped in, which is funny because sometimes when Star Wars pops up, I have this like default reaction to be like, I don't want to talk Star Wars, but you know, why not? I guess. And it was cool though, like his takes or like his, it was almost like there was this mutual understanding of kind of Star Wars right now. Talking to him, and I thought that was pretty cool. Anyway, I was bringing that up for a reason, but I forgot what that reason was. But I'm glad I brought up Gelgu Guy.
Yeah, yeah. And retouching old kits is definitely something that I've been into lately. I mean, as far as like Gundam That's things fine. That I've done this week, I did hand paint the V8. Like it's the old no grade V8 that I've been working on. I am recasting some of the resin parts that are going to be LED wired. But like the actual kit, the face, everything, I just like hand painted all those details. And it really makes me feel like hand painting is what I enjoy doing it. And maybe it's just cope, as the kids call it. The fact that like I'm so terrible at airbrushing. Part of it is like I actually really enjoy the just sort of the tactile feeling of painting something by hand, because it feels like you're actually doing something, not just like using a device to, you know what I mean? Like
it's AI. we're using technology to,
And I mean, speaking of technology, is like I've got a pocket here full of Zaku Mono Eyes, high grade Zaku Mono Eyes that I've been using Silanot silicone to make copies of.
Oh wow.
And part of that's just like part of my whole philosophy on always making copies of parts from, and you know what, hey, I brought this up last night, the little no grade Ultron Gundam from Endless Waltz. You know, that's another one that I would wire up with LEDs, because a lot of these high grades, like they don't have clear eye parts or visors or mono eyes, and so they need, those parts need to be cast in clear resin instead of molded in opaque plastic in order to get the LEDs in. So I see a lot of that in my future as I go through each of my old kits.
Okay.
And
so that's exactly the point I meant to bring up about the old kits. I'm so glad you brought that back around. Okay,
that's what cool. I do.
Well, because the other thing too is, speaking of wing kits, it was the wing you had sent me. And so I think that's one where I want to try to do this. And he was even talking about, Gelgu Guy was talking about like processes for upgrading old kits. So yeah, that's
Nickel Models actually sent me. There's a guy on Instagram, Mecha Genre, who just did the Endless Waltz Ultron.
Oh, okay.
So he did this kit. But of course, you know, now that he's done it, I'm like, well, now I don't want to do that. I'm like, honestly,
it'd be cool to come up with a step process for anyone that's like, here is like the kind of the basic bare minimum of upgrading these older kits. Like, I wonder if there could be a consensus to maybe joint strengthening or modification or something.
If G-frame kits were more easily accessible, I would definitely say buy a G-frame and cut open your old no grades and like line and use that as your inner frame.
Oh, wow. Because
the G-frame has like the G-frame comes with two inner frames for the armor, right? So it's got like the articulated one, then it's got like the Katoki pose. So if you take that articulated one, I've seen people use that to make joints for 1/100 scale kits.
Wow. That is a really good, that the type of plastic it is. It's almost like a sturdy yet soft plastic. And yeah, cause I've built many of those. That is a good idea. So that's interesting. Targets have G frames. I know they usually do. I have a couple myself. I actually had this really badass, it was a Blue Destiny, and I completely see, those were fun to paint. I painted that one.
There you go.
I gave it to one of the when I did the thing with Bandai, when I went out to Bandai, I brought gifts for everyone, and it was like things I made, and that was one of them.
That's cool.
But that is cool because there's part of me that feels like I have so many, and that, you know, I could, you know, give them away or something. But okay, another thing real quick. So kind of going back on the point about older kits, the other one I wanted to do, and this isn't an older kit, but you know, the Rising Freedom that Principality New York sent.
Yeah.
I ordered, and I forget if this one's it. No, you can't really see it that well. Anyway, I ordered some water slide decals because it's the high grade. And right. When I look at it built, it looks like a toy. That's the thing with some of these high grades. So I'm going to go through and I'm going to really look at little things that I could do to detail it. Maybe like the Gelgu guy doing the joints. Remember the joint thing?
That
could be a good idea. And I want to get it. I want to have a high grade Rising Freedom that looks like a high quality action figure, because there's a Robot Spirits one, but I'm trying not to buy every Robot Spirits I see of everything.
You can't do it. I mean, I know
these things are so expensive. And that's why, you know, AmiAmi is a good place to get the used stuff that's hard to find or expensive. You know?
There you go.
Otherwise, if you're looking for anything modern or freely available, Art Rovo Gundam description, the link is down in the description below.
There you go.
Shout out to Art Rovo.
Two kits and free shipping using promo code.
No, actually, I think it's for March. Oh, that's right. I need to update that. Percentage off. It's like a 50.
Oh, nice. 10 or 50. Even better.
Is it okay? Okay, that might be good. Yeah, so check that out. Really, it's been great. Like, Art Rovo got me the G-Quux. I was able to do that video to align for when I saw, you know, the show, and we had that video, by the way, that you were on. I totally forgot to plug that. Where, you know, the supporters. So again, a supporter perk is our G-Watch podcast, where once a month supporters get together. We have a discussion about something. It was G-Quux, because a bunch of us got to see it in the theater, which was.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. So that was something like Artie, you know, over on Discord was pointing out, like, hey, you never made a video saying what you thought of G-Quux. And I was like, well, I mean, I was on the G-Watch. And she goes, no, you should, you know, do your own reaction video. And I was like, I mean, really? I don't know. Does anyone really care what I think? Like, I tried to not say too much on.
Well, here's the thing. It's hard, and I know what you mean, because sometimes I won't make videos of something because I'll talk about it on the podcast.
Right. Yeah.
But then sometimes I'll make a video of something because, okay, this can align with some content that I'm coming out with. I personally would want to know what you have to say about it, because even I feel like we both dive in deep to these things, but I feel like we have our personal slant that offers insights that I think are different between us, even though we agree a lot on the same things. I think we have insights that are sometimes different.
I think it's interesting. I think so too.
Yeah. So I do think you doing a video like that. And but here's the other thing. You also did the video for the miniatures and that blew up the assemble.
It's true.
So it's almost like.
But that's because everyone knows that I like the miniatures.
That's part of it. People know you for that, but at the same time, the algorithm knew that, apparently, you know.
Evidently so.
Yeah. I would keep that in mind.
Until, you know, obviously, because my review would be full of spoilers. Like, I can't not spoil something, because it's like so much of my analysis has to do with like pointing out some of that stuff,
so. Exactly. And so because it's hard to watch it again, that's why I haven't really done any sort of follow-up video or like more deep dive, because it's like I need to see it again to really take in all of those little things that talking about. There's so many. And that's what was cool about that video that went out Monday. So if you guys haven't watched it, you know, that G-Watch was having like the whole crew, like a lot of the people, but a lot of the normal crew plus you, and getting everyone's different. And it was fun because I remember we did that with Seed Freedom last year.
Yeah.
I love doing those. So yeah, after the series, you know, now that we know it's going to be on Amazon, we'll have to do that.
Yeah.
Real quick, going back, I feel like I haven't had one consistent thought this whole time, but it's okay. Because you know what? I want to shout out real quick, Banshee Gaming. Hey, Adam, watching your stream while reorganizing all my Gunpla stuff. I love doing that. I love putting on a podcast, YouTube, and organizing my stuff, build. So today, this episode, you're getting just a stream of consciousness because Perfect. There's so much I want to talk to Steven about. I just can't even.
Yeah, it's getting the mess out of our brains while getting the mess off of your desk so that you can be more productive with your Gunpla, which is important. I mean, no, do not sell yourself. Like, I mean, my desk is a mess right now. And I think that it's reflective of the inner turmoil in my mind.
Oh, yeah, it could be like, my desk right now. Crazy. Along with those Rising Freedom high grade stickers, I also got Mighty Strike Freedom to put, again, because it's like I bought, the high grade kits don't usually come with real type marking style decals. And
yeah,
as much as I like a mobile suit like the Mighty Strike Freedom, I need the real type markings on it to really kind of sell the idea of it being some sort of machine, for a faction. Otherwise, it just looks like a toy or something,
I know what you mean.
Yeah. So, but what's cool is this SD cross silhouette, and I keep forgetting there's different types of SD. Cross
silhouettes. Yeah.
Yeah. So it has like the two different ones, I guess. But I think it's like one of the thing, but two different skeletons, right?
I don't know how many of the cross silhouette kits come with both frames. Does that one come with both of them?
Because it might, because it's a bigger box.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure like the Zaku does not, but the Zeta Gundam did. There you go. See, that's larger box for sure.
Yeah. So that's really cool. And so then I was also debating putting the real type markings on the SD one.
That'd be pretty sweet.
I think that'd be fun.
Cause that cross silhouette is similar to like the Gundam Battle Alliance scale. Like it's not like a true like BB Senshi style SD. It's got like a little bit more.
Like there's more proportions to, it's like the Mobile Suit Ensemble, a bigger version of that. So
Or like DK mode in GoldenEye.
Oh yeah, that's right. And you did the basketball NBA Jam and all that.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
Cool stuff. So no, that's again, my mind's been going crazy with this building. I don't know what it is, but I've just been building through things.
I was gonna say on the topic of Principality New York, I built the Goku sample kit that Principality New York sent me.
Yeah.
And I actually just took him apart to paint him. Not Gundam related, but one of the things I was thinking about, like on the subject of decals, is printing out alternative decals for the chest and back, because it comes with stickers. But obviously,
because I think I have that same one too, right? It was like the, Is it like the entry grade?
It's kind of like an entry grade level. Obviously, this one has been beheaded and bearmed. Is that a word?
I put the decal on, but so you're saying you would print. So in Dragon Ball, are there different symbols?
Yeah. So Goku in particular, as he progresses through the series in Dragon Ball Z, he wears different symbols on his back and on his chest to reflect the different senseis that he's learned from. So like at the beginning of the series, he's got Master Roshi, later on after he's died and gone to, the spirit world, he's learned from King Kai and learns the Kaioken technique. Am I spoiling stuff for you guys that haven't watched Dragon Ball Z?
No, I don't know that stuff, but I feel like one day, just like with Evangelion. Yeah. Shout out to supporter Sayla in the chat. She hasn't been here in a while.
Hey.
So that's cool. Yeah. She was on the show Monday too.
But yeah, so I forget which symbols actually came as stickers. But then even then, this is such a textured, we're not talking about like a flat Gundam panel where you're applying a sticker to. Like this has got so many curves and stuff. I don't want to put a sticker on this. Like I kind of need the water slide to.
Yeah, you're right. Well, okay. So whenever he had a different symbol, was there any other difference to his costume? or hair?
No, I think it would more just reflect the abilities that he had.
Interesting. So really, you could build one for each ability. So you have cannon each.
There you
I
mean, go.
That's when you get into that obsessive part where I kind of do that sometimes where it's like, okay.
Yeah, I would need to 3D print some hair because obviously, you know, going Super Saiyan and doing all that.
Oh, dude. That is actually cool to think of because of how the hair works on there. Yeah, going in and 3D printing your own. Yeah, I can't wait for how 3D printing is going to explode even more than it is. And like,
oh yeah, I mean, I've got a ton of things that I've printed out that are on my desk, and I'm really happy with how they've turned out. I'm really excited to share them with you guys when they're ready. So
that's cool. Yeah, can't wait. Well, okay, we're going to move on to some of the gaming news real quick.
Sweet.
Let me share my screen. So what is, I think, a really cool surprise, but a welcome one, is F91 in Gundam Battle Operation 2, because it's like something I never thought would happen, you know, but I've always been surprised when it comes to video games. Like, for some reason, there's like the concept of something happening and you're like, well, can they do that? And one example, and I don't know if people thought the same as me, but when Call of Duty 4 Modern Warfare 1 first came out, before it came out, I thought that would be amazing to make a game as fast paced as World War II Call of Duty, but with modern guns.
Right.
Because it didn't really exist yet. And I was like, how can they pull it off? And I think they did. And it almost taught the gamer to play faster. You know what I mean? It's one of those things where you don't think it's possible because of the limits people haven't had pushed yet. You know?
Yeah. So. I mean, I might be just like a boomer where, you know, I used to play the old Call of Duties and like, I loved using like the M1 Garand, however you guys pronounce
it.
Oh,
yeah.
And you know, it's like a bolt action rifle, you know, so you get these little slow shots one after the other.
So
now I try to play like Black Ops or Modern Warfare and I'm just getting smoked because I'm like, you're not supposed to be able to shoot that fast.
Yeah. You have to relearn how to play the game. You know, that's the thing. It's that's something I've learned about video games is a lot of times it's not that you're bad at it. You just haven't learned the motions and all that. And, anyway, and so I almost feel like that's the same thing with F91 being in GBO2, just because it has games that are in the, you know, the 100 cost or whatever it is, you know, where it's early 1 year war, all that stuff. Yeah. But then being able to go up past Unicorn, I mean, I would even say Hathaway was a nice surprise, but to go to F91, because what's that, 0123 about? Unfortunately, I haven't got to play it. It has like a 10-step roll, and you know, I don't know how much that costs. I need to calculate that. It's probably $100.
$100, yeah.
Yeah. you know, and I'm not saying to not jump into GBO2, though, because they're giving out a lot of free suits. I got a lot when I jumped in, and I think they're doing that for a few days or a week or something. But the F91 is cool because although I feel like it would be different gameplay, but I was surprised with how they made flight units work. So it's like, it can be done. You know, it has its old like after image thing, which is like,
yeah,
I don't know. Is that one of the more advanced things a mobile suit has done technology wise? If, I mean,
you have beam shields and like, all kinds of silly stuff going on. Honestly, I am less surprised by the F91 than I was with the God Gundam.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just because the God Gundam doesn't typically have like ranged attacks and GBO2, you know, yeah, there's a large melee component, but so much of the core gameplay loop is still, you know, ranged combat, like a third person shooter.
Yeah. You know what? For me, the thought of that, the God Gundam was more of, well, they're going to like, it's more like they're just going to scale it to what works in UC. Cause I'm thinking in my UC mind, oh, the F91, because it's supposed to be such a superior mobile suit because it's new technology. You know, and, but anyway, that's really cool.
Why is it so small?
I know, but it's pretty cool because the idea is it's
so it's going to be the odd job of Well, Gundam Battle Operation.
But what I've heard is it's, you know, it's about, and I think it's funny because I think they talked about this in the Titan stuff, Revenge of Zeta, but it was like the smaller, they made the mobile suit smaller because it's more about being light and fast than the firepower. Yeah. Because the any because at that point, any of them can shoot Starship beam cannons, you know.
Right.
It's now just about getting away from it. So, and that's interesting because I've talked about when I first got into Gundam, because F-91 was a movie. That's when I watched early on. And it was after I'd watched the original series and I watched F-91. And to me, I thought it was awesome because I was almost like, the context was like, okay, here's a future of Universal Century. Like, to me, it was like Back to the Future 2.
Yeah.
You know, where like they're in their future. For me, I would thought it was so cool to see that future's universe. So, and I didn't have that much attachment of the lore at that time. So for me, it was more aesthetically and world building like. And that Mastery 2.0, it was an early kit I got because of enjoying. And the other reason too was at that time I was still really big into Star Wars, and F-91 has so much Star Wars.
I mean, it really is like Tomino's Star Wars fan fiction.
Yeah,
like
it's- and I love in the music, and they pull music directly from Empire Strikes Back. I love it. You know, I in Battle Alliance, I did fully upgrade my F-91. That was one of the suits I did, or at least pretty high. And I think the F-91 is a good example of when talking about Gundam video games, how an F-91 video game would kind of be outside of the norm of what we might expect from a video game, either Gundam or Mecha, just because it's a little more interesting and flashy that you can be with the type of mobile suits in the Crossbone Vanguard that kind of has the pirate thing.
I think that's one of the things that, you know, you've talked about this on Blue Gamer, like the idea of superhero video games being kind of stale because they go with the same type of superhero over and over, and they don't choose like a hero like Captain America Falcon America, you know.
Yeah, I don't know the name, but he's...
proper nomenclature for Sam Wilson, Captain America, he would make a fantastic superhero video game just because of all the interesting abilities in much the same way. Although F-91, you know, not as interesting of a story, not as interesting of like the, you know, you're not going to have as much fun as say like doing something like a Xeonic Front. Like you're not going to have like team based tactics, but using the F-91 mobile suit where it's got its own mechanics, it's got its own like super abilities. That would be a fun video game to make. And
I know. Yeah, you know, it would even be fun, and this is almost kind of changing the direct subject, but with video games, to see a proper shmup make, because I love those shoot 'em ups like R-Type and Gradius. I know they've tried and they have SD ones, but to have one, you know, in the F-91 or Victory era, I think makes sense. I don't know.
It could work. Yeah,
but anyway... So that's a long way to say F-91 is in GBO2, and I don't think I'll be able to play it anytime soon. Check out Talos Mobius. He's linked below.
Oh yeah,
he got it. So we were talking about it earlier. So, and I'm pretty sure he has a video up about it. If he hasn't already, he will. So check that below. And you know what is really cool? I have been jumping into GBO2 a little bit more because of the PlayStation Portal. Because I can just pick up the portal, press the thing, log in, and then doing my morning like thing, you know, and then looking at it and then doing my freebies.
Cool, man. Dude, I've not even plugged my PlayStation back in since getting the floors redone in my basement. So it has been like over a month since I've played on the PS4. So,
well, you know what? You should jump back on. You know why? Because Ultronimus is saying the F-91 is playable in the mission trial. And I keep forgetting that they do that with those seats. So I need to, or the suits, I need to do that. Okay. So some other video game news. So in Gundam Breaker 4, and actually speaking of Ultronimus, check his channel out because he actually has the videos up G-Quux and the Gundam EX is in Gundam Breaker 4. So kind of like I did with the Mighty Strike Freedom, I'm going to go in, build it, go run around, do some things. But I'm going to complain. And good. I want to complain with you. This, again, is another topic I would want to talk to you about anyway.
Let your hate flow through you.
So the one thing I don't like about Gundam Breaker 4 is as I am leveling up parts and stuff, I'm realizing how long it would take. And so it's like I have to really pick the parts I want to level up. Yep. Unless there's something I'm missing, you have to grind for the builder parts. So what they're doing is they're selling builder parts for real money. And I know they do this. It doesn't mean I can't complain about it. The reason I think it's wrong is because then the gameplay was designed around this.
Yes.
And so they intentionally want to make you feel like grinding is taking a while so that you would go in here and buy builder parts.
Now, if I may, there are games that do stuff similar to this, but in a much less malicious way. For example, you know, if you've ever played any of the Resident Evil series, like remake games, you know, 2, 3, 4, there are tons of unlockables in those games. You know, you can unlock infinite ammo for certain things. You can unlock like regenerating your health. You can unlock, you know, specialty weapons like the hot dog or knife. Like that stuff's cool.
Yeah,
it is possible to unlock multiples of those things in a single playthrough if you're good enough. There is no amount of talent. There is no amount of like you could perfect S rank every single mission in Gundam Breaker 4. It is not going to increase the speed at which you acquire builder parts. Therefore, this is more like grind bait compared to something like that, where it's like, you know, if you are good enough at the game, you don't have to pay for like the skeleton key that you get for the Resident Evil stuff for all the unlockables.
Yeah. And it's funny because when I would research, you know, what's the fastest way to, you know, grind for builder parts, you got to break a forward. And they're like, oh, you know, this certain level, just play it over and over and over again. And it's like, is that fun? You know, it's like, yeah, I think it is to a degree, but the amount of time doing it,
right.
Like, and what's crazy is it has like, you know, the main story game, and then it has, I forget what it's called, like the other levels. Mm-hmm. I forget what it's called, but it's just all the story missions again.
And so this makes me very nervous for SD Eternal, because in like the G Generation Genesis and G Generation Crossrays, you had the same sort of thing where you could grind for parts in order to like advance mobile suits. But again, there was it's the last level in G Generation Genesis anyway, the last level of like the Marcosius missions where it's you're fighting at a Bawaku and you can capture the Pale Rider.
Yeah.
That mission, if you play it over and over again, you can capture like 23 GMs in a single mission and then scrap them all for parts. It is the easiest way to farm if you're trying to build stuff up. However, as you're doing it, you're unlocking more suits. You're powering up your suits. And so every time you play it, you get progressively faster and faster and faster at it to the point where you can beat that mission in like 3 minutes. And so, again, not the case in Gundam Breaker 4.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's the thing. Like, I feel like that I enjoy jumping into Gundam Breaker 4 because I'm seeing Gundam stuff I like. You know, it's a passable, fun, button mashing, all the moves, create your own Gundam Gunpla. But then when you look at the level design, the mission structure, the farming, it's if the game is more about building, I feel like they could then focus more of the content around building, showcasing, having it where you don't go and then build and then try to save it in the blueprint. They should have it where you go and you go, okay, file, new build. And then you build something and then it saves it there. And then you go new build. The way you save your builds right now is weird. The way the other thing too, we've discovered that it is costly to port games to other platforms. So knowing that they didn't have an Xbox version of this tells me even more how much of a budget title Gundam Breaker 4 really ended up being. And it could have just been where Bandai was like, either we make a Gundam Breaker game or we don't. And if we do, it just has to be low budget. And so at the end of the day, I guess
I mean, I guess, but like, you know, you even go back to like some of the DS Pokemon titles and they had like mini games and stuff like where it wasn't just about the Pokemon battles. Yeah. Like you could enter your Pokemon in like beauty contests. Where is that in Gundam Breaker 4? Like,
it's such a good point you brought up when video games do have side content that is almost optional, but sometimes part of, you know, it's almost like
you maybe can, you have one mission that's it's required, but then you can
use that for thing like for the purpose of keeping you in the game so you're not just doing the same thing over and over. Especially in the Gundam Breaker 4 lobby, like the fact that there's a lobby with other people and things you can do, but there's nothing you can do. Like they could have done so much more with that. But so, you know, and just to talk about the video game thing, you know, we got that news that I talked about, I think a show or two ago, where BB Studio is now named something else. And it's like Bandai Games, something, I don't know.
Yeah.
And they are to focus on Gundam and more Gundam Battle Operation 2. So I feel like that might help the franchise in a way where they're almost like, okay, let's be a little more focused maybe with what we're doing.
Hopefully.
What are your thoughts? I'm curious, if they did a GBO3, would it have the same gacha system?
I mean, unfortunately, I think it probably would.
Do you think the system keeps the population low, but that system, because of the way it is, that population just sustains it? But if they were to maybe be less, you know, gacha, that might retain a higher population.
Yeah, but, you know, it's like I always say, I'd rather have 1,000 dedicated fans than 10,000 lukewarm fans. And I think that that's probably the approach behind GBO2.
But part of me also thinks that, and this is almost talking about live service, but it's the way you have to think about it, where they need, and this is where Gundam Breaker 4, again, I think messed up, they need to deliver a Gundam game that's a service, a platform. More of a platform, you know, and I think the meta, you know, what they're working on could be that, the metaverse.
Yeah.
But I wish they did that with Gundam Breaker 4. It needs to be some sort of collective platform that they need to have as like one Gundam game. And then, you know, they have all the different types.
Yeah. Almost like a Roblox type thing where it's like, You can make your own in-game content for it. Yeah.
Speaking of Roblox, if anyone heads over to the video game section on the Discord, there's been someone posting, and I even tried it. You need to try it, or we need to talk about it maybe.
Yeah.
Gundam Roblox game is actually pretty impressive for what it is.
Yeah.
And because they're making it like a simulator where, isn't it where like the look is separate from the movement of your controls of moving the Gundam.
As far as I know. Yeah. I haven't played it, but yeah, I mean, it's does play a little bit more like a mech warrior.
Yeah. But you can still move around more to a degree you would expect a Gundam to move. And it's a lot more vertical. There's a lot more, like the buildings seem taller than in GBO2. In GBO2, there's only one map maybe where buildings seem tall, but it's mostly around the side. And this seemed to have a lot more going on. And I forget if it was maybe like 10 on 10 or I forget what it was exactly, but there was a lot of people in there running around. You know, the thing is, it does look a little cheap because they're using Roblox, but
yeah,
the way it looks, the person making it obviously knows Gundam lore. Yeah. I need to find out who it is and reach out to them. Maybe I would love to talk to them. It'd be funny if it was just, you know, like a 9-year-old that, you know, because it's Roblox, but it almost seems too impressive to have been a 9-year-old. It seems like something you and I would be working on.
I was going to say your son has shipped more video games than I have.
I know that's funny. He learned how to use like Unity and do all that stuff. That's funny.
That's funny.
But yeah, so when it comes to Gundam video games, I'm just excited we're getting in May that Seed game, and it's just funny that Seed has been grabbing my attention, because it's the perfect, I guess, palate cleanser for a video game of Gundam for me to play, because I think I've only played UC games, except for, you know, Gundam Breaker when there's,
you know, or like Dynasty Warriors Gundam, like those types of games where
but normally the stuff is very UC heavy, and I think with this PS, it's the PSP game, right, that's being
being ported and remastered. It's like a
because I heard they're gonna have the stuff from Freedom.
Yeah,
it's very cool. It's cool. And one thing I don't know though is if it's being put out by BB Studio, or I forgot if I looked that up. I forgot, because then I wonder, like, is that part of this initiative where there maybe is going to be more of a push to, let's get these Gundam games out, let's port these older games.
Yeah, give us 0081 and side stories.
Yeah, I know. Oh man, if we could design the RTS, the 1 year war RTS would be the coolest effing thing. I'm just thinking Command and Conquer Generals, back when we had the tanks and the Humvees, and then you're upgrading what weapons they have, and then you send them out.
Didn't that just become open source?
Yeah. That's true. Like, I wonder if I can use ChatGPT to help me mod the you don't even mod it, it's open source.
Yeah.
It's like I give it the code and then I tell it to do the work. Is it like that? Is it that easy?
Man, that's so empowering when you put it like that.
It would be cool though. I just wouldn't know where to start. Like, do I open up Notepad and start and type like game start colon hashtag?
Something like that, yeah. Well, I was gonna say Microsoft Visual Studio probably has a Copilot. There you go.
Okay, and Visual Studio is used for like different coding languages, I guess, if you wanted to put something together.
Yeah, I mean, you could use Visual Studio even just for like an HTML web page. Like, it's just a fancy code editor.
That's neat. It's like I knew that, but I didn't, because I deal with Visual Studio, like, you know, with my job. I don't actually deal with it, but there's always like the thing that needs to be installed, or, you know.
Yep. You need VS for this.
Yeah. Like, yeah. No, that's cool. Well, so, you know, everyone, I hope you enjoyed this kind of, actually, no, there is one more thing I was about to say. There's the, and I'm going to change the screen, the...
Oh, you're going to bring up more things that I hate.
More things that you hate. So, I love the look of this GM, like F-80, it's called the
F-80.
F-80 Gun Raid, which is a badass name.
That is a badass name.
I mean, even the other one was called the Heavy Gun. Like, isn't there another? Yeah. I love the look of it, because, again, I feel like it pulls off what future UC would be, because of the antennas, the more like alien face, I guess you could say.
And the shield is so cool. Like,
yeah, it's a different looking, unique design for the shield.
And I love that these are master grades, that all of the F-90 and now the F-80, that they all come out as master grades, because it means that they're perfectly in scale with all of my high-grade UC stuff.
Oh. but I guess maybe that's why. Okay, I think you just answered why they do these. I wonder if it's very cheap to produce these, but master grade is a more selling point.
No, you know, that would be an interesting thing to think about, because so few, you know, especially like you think about all the UC, like P Bandai stuff that comes out, right? Like, how often do you really get master grade stuff? Whereas the F-90 and F-91 stuff, it's all master grade. And so, is it saying something about the fans of late UC to suggest that they are like, you know, the master grade purists, the ones that only build in 1/100 scale? Like, what do you think is the correlation there?
I think, I wonder if they just, it's the thing we were talking about where you make, change people's habits. I think they push them because they're cheap to produce.
Mm.
I here's the thing. I never would seek these out, but then I see them pushed to me a lot. And then I see this and I'm like, you know what? I'll buy it. Yeah. But the other thing to think of too is when, well, I guess They don't. Yeah. So if you think of the high grade in terms of high grade, the F91 kits that came out. And I don't know if that would be related. You know, there's the Den Zenangon, there's all the gay, right, whatever yeah. you call them, that are only 1/100 of the 90s kits.
True. Yeah.
So I wonder if this is just to keep everything in scale.
Possibly so. I had the great fortune of hanging out with Pixelly a couple of weekends ago at the at build night over at the flagship store, and she brought in the F91, like it's like the old 1/60th scale.
Great, yeah. The
yeah.
Yeah,
I don't know. Is it perfect grade or is it?
I don't know if it's just the scale. Yeah,
it was so cool because so many parts of it came pre-assembled, and they have like all of these gimmicks in them where it's like, you know, you push the heel down and like the fins on the back of the leg spring out.
That's cool.
Such cool stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So that's funny because I think she was talking about it on your show when she was on.
Yeah.
Because then I looked it up because I'm, a big fan of F91. Well, and I was like, wow, that actually does look good. And then I think someone else brought it up in the Discord.
Yeah.
So maybe there's something to F91 fans like that.
They're weird. We don't realize.
Yeah, I don't know. I know. Yeah, I guess. But I guess the reason I think that is because, getting into Gundam, people don't really talk about F91 that much.
No, it's true.
Yeah. And so I just assume it's not a big deal, but.
No, I think that in the same way, and all joking aside, like I'm going to stop dumping on F91 for a minute. All joking aside, I think that in much the same way, like Gundam X and Gundam Age get passed over, F91 typically gets passed over as like, non-essential Gundam material, right.
Yeah.
It's a send it home because it's not essential for the pandemic.
Yeah. Yeah. That's interesting. Again, I wonder how much of that is generational, like little segments.
Because there's a revival happening, right? Like, clearly there's this new generation of Gundam fans that is super into F91. I don't know how to reach these kids.
Well, hey, just like prequels, how I want to say the reason they're real popular right now is because the kids that grew up with the prequels. And I would say if I watched F91 when I was young, I would be like, that's totally badass. The animation in it is so good.
The animation is awesome. It's that early 90s anime with
that's some of my favorite visuals. Anyway, but no, that's it. This was a great conversation. And thank you, Steven, and everyone in chat for kind of letting me just to talk. There's so much I wanted to talk to you guys about and talk to Steven. And I felt like I got to do that. This was therapy for me as much as it was an eventful Gunpla cleaning session for some of you out there. So
there you go.
And again, if you're listening, there's the video version, but if you're watching and want to listen, there's a podcast and there's links below for Steven's show. If you don't know about it and for other supporters that there's a certain tier where they can have their links. Also Art Rovo Gundam, sponsor of the channel. Shout out to Art Rovo Gundam. And that is it. So Steven, anything else?
No, cheers, y'all. Have a great weekend.
Yep. See y'all.